Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Wednesday. Hope everyone's doing well. Hope you've had a great day so far. If you haven't, maybe we'll make it better for you. Now, we won't be sending you cash, but we'll try and verbally make it better. Our number 800-795-9565, Joe Susan joins us today at 3:35. As Bucknell plays at Army, I know, Kevin, you have been looking forward to this game for weeks.
I am. I really think this is a great opportunity for Bucknell. Anytime an FCS school has a chance to play an FBS school, it's a great opportunity. But just being able to see a game at Army and the, for lack of a better word, the pageantry that goes around it is going to be a lot of fun. And I know there's about a thousand Bucknell people that have bought tickets for this game through Bucknell alone. I know there's a couple of fan buses going out. They're leaving at 4 o'clock Saturday morning to get out there. So. And the atmosphere, it's of 40,000 people. I mean, that's just something you don't always see at an FCS school or at many FCS schools, we'll put it that way.
Well, it'll be a lot of fun. There's already been one major upset in that game. You're probably wondering what.
Okay.
You got a security clearance.
Oh, I'm like, is there something? What do I not know here? I'm like, I just went through all the notes last night. I mean, what am I missing?
I thought to myself when this came up, what are the odds? Somehow, some way, Homeland Security cleared you.
It is well, not why? The first time I've been cleared by Homeland Security to be on that base.
Well, it doesn't mean they don't make mistakes.
Well, I can't really speak that they haven't. You're right.
Yeah. But that's going to be Saturday. It's an early game, right?
That is a noon. 1:30. That's a noon game. Kickoff. Yep. 11:30 airtime, also on CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they carry all the Army games. CBS Sportsnet does.
I know they like to pick up a lot of Patriot League games, too, along the way. So it's, this one kind of fills both.
Yeah. Army's in the Patriot for basketball.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is Navy.
All right.
Navy is, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, Navy is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the real question, though. Great game for it. Yeah, the real question, though, is who's going to start a quarterback for Army?
Yeah. If Bradshaw starts, you've got some. Sure and Bradshaw both run the option about the same, in my opinion. The difference is Bradshaw can take any play to the house while Sure probably gets a 20 or 25 yard gain and then on the same play.
Then the other thing is I don't know what to think of that Duke game. 44-3.
Yeah. You know what?
I mean, Duke's not yeah. bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from Duke here.
All right. I know you get caught up a lot in the emotion of a game going in, momentum, things like that.
Sometimes,
it's storylines, guy eats like chicken every day before a game. That's like a big thing to you. okay, but matchups mean, in reality, that's what. Where games are determined, won and lost. Matchups. Which matchups can you exploit? It may be a case where just Duke went out and Army didn't match up with them at all. Just didn't match up with them.
Well, Army had 113 yards on the ground, but Duke put up 458, almost equal passing and rushing yards. 243 passing, 215 rushing. Yeah. The big difference, though, is Army turned the ball over three times.
Yeah, they turned the ball... They put the ball on the ground here seven times and lost three of them. And that was a big part of the game.
But Army is 0-3 at home coming into this game.
Okay.
It's just a stat.
Exactly. I don't know what kind of meaningful stat it is. Depends on who the three are. I know one's Wake Forest. Is Fordham one of them?
Duke was one of them.
Oh, Duke.
Let's see. Fordham, Wake Forest, and Duke.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the way it goes. Two ACC teams and a team that they should have beaten.
And an FCS team, that's correct.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, the setting is second to none, but it's going to be cold there on Saturday, so bundle up. It's going to be very cold there, as a matter of fact. It's going to be no higher than the mid-40s for the game. Don't mean to be staff meteorologist, but that's just a fact.
Okay. What's the Friday night? What's the Friday night forecast?
I don't know.
That's what I'm concerned about first. The Saturday forecast looks fine.
I was just saying it's going to be in the mid 40s for fans going to the game. I wasn't that worried about whether you're sitting in the box. Okay, they got heat. you're really okay. No offense, but
you're
like
right.
how you are was not really in the top 10. I was mentioning that for the fans who were sitting in the stands.
I didn't mean the temperature. I was referring to the conditions, not the weather temp, not the temperature, the actual physical conditions: rain, partly cloudy, sunny, gloomy, miserable, windy.
Well, the cloudy, gloomy, miserable part, you take care of
yourself.
That's
where I'll be, right? Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay, that's like your shtick. So that's all set.
Friday looks partly cloudy with a shower, and the evening forecast is 51. Let's see.
Okay.
Saturday forecast will have a real feel in the mid-40s at the high point of the day with some clouds. Dropping down to 32. I may now have to cut the grass again.
It's hope for all of us, isn't there?
And there came a killing frost.
Yes. All right. Our number 800-795-9565. Two game fives coming up tonight in baseball. Rangers at Toronto with Cole Hamels on the mound. And Houston at Kansas City. Tomorrow, Dodgers and Mets. Clayton Kershaw was really good last night. Not only was he really good last night, but Don Mattingly, I think, managed it as well as you can ask him to. Short rest. Kershaw's normally 114-115 pitch a game guy. He got to the 94 mark at the end of seven. They took him out. It's good managing on short rest of your star that you're going to need later on if you win. And Kershaw, in a game the Dodgers absolutely had to win, to his credit, pitched like a guy that knew they absolutely had to win the game. So credit where credit is due, because certainly we have brought up the Kershaw issue many, many times. And I think if you're going to bring up the issue many, many times, when the guy bucks the issue and then does a 180 of that, you have to give him credit where credit is due. And that way people understand that when you're delivering commentary, it's fair commentary. So there you go. So that's, they play that deciding game. Greinke's on normal rest tomorrow night. He is not on short rest. And the winner plays the Cubs, who for the first time ever won a clinching game at Wrigley Field.
And they're still celebrating. Listen, this is the Back to the Future effect, I'm telling you. We knew this was happening in the 80s.
Right. Oh, you're back to that stupid thing. Oh, for goodness. Oh, for goodness sake.
If they make the series, you are going to hear about that the entire series. I guarantee it. There will
be
opens.
I don't care.
There will be opens that will play clips of the movie. just preparing you for what's to come if they hit the series. I wonder what the sales for NLCS gear for the Cubs are like right now.
I don't know. Sure, it's doing just fine. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every 42 seconds, someone purchases an F-Series truck.
Hurry to Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest
before someone gets your truck.
Now
is the best time to buy your next new Ford truck from SMC.
Choose from over 100 F-150s with savings up to 10 grand.
Sunbury Motors has close to 50 Super Duties with savings up to $11,500. What better way to impress your hunting camp than with a new Super Duty from SMC? Trucktoberfest means over 150 new F-150s and F-250s to choose from. Trucktoberfest means savings up to $11,500. Trucktoberfest means 0% financing for 60 months. Trucktoberfest means the best time to buy your next new Ford truck. And the only place to buy is Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. It's Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest. So hurry in before someone gets your truck.
Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Okay, yeah, it's the anniversary of that. Great.
Well, the last time the Cubbies won the series, that was actually a brand new song.
Fabulous. So you got, what, 100 and, no, not 100, it's what, 98 years of, okay, nothing. It's also the 12th anniversary of Steve Bartman today, 12 years ago today.
See, that's another good one.
12 or 11, maybe it was 12 years, 12 years ago today.
03, wasn't it?
Yep, Bartman. That is a very sad story, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh,
I think it's wrong.
Oh.
I think it's so. I think, but the whole thing is wrong. The whole thing is wrong. He's a big fan. He goes to the game. I think he has the earbuds on, whatever. So he's listening to the game. All right. So now. Okay, he hits the ball and Alou doesn't catch it. Well, you know the Cubs are winning the game at that point. And the Cubs had multiple chances to win that game. Oh, and by the way, it was a game 7, too, which they lost. And how he was treated by people, I appreciate passion tremendously. I do not appreciate obsession. And there's a big difference between the two. I'm passionate about my job, what I do. I mean, you know, about the show, about games, things like, you know, you throw yourself into it. You know, we have Joe Susan on, you know, Friday. We're going to have Paul Keels on and Tim May from the Dispatch. We're going to have Rich Scarcella on. We'll have all the high school announcers tomorrow as well. It's because you're trying to constantly put out really good shows. And then Jack and I and Joe Putnam and Jeff and Roger, we try to do everything we can to put out a good broadcast for you based on what we see, because we're all really into what we do. But there's a big difference between passion and obsession. You're going to be so obsessed that you treat this guy like, I mean, there are people that have tried this year to come up with money and whatever incentive to get him to go to a game in the playoffs, and he won't go. Who won't go? Guy wanted to be there at the clinching game in 2003. Okay, the ball hit him. I got it. Okay? You know, these fans act like he took Moises Alou and threw him out of the way to get the ball. I mean, I know he hit the ball. But Moises Alou also was not a very good outfielder. You know, I'm not so sure he catches it.
He was a long way away from that ball when that ball hits his hand. That's what I always thought anyway.
But what they did to him, I mean, they made him feel like he was just lower than dirt on the face of the earth. He couldn't leave his house. But because you went to a ball game? Really? Really? I mean, I understand the passion. I understand the want to win. I also understand the 5,000 other things that could have gone right or wrong that could have swung winning and losing in a particular game. If you look back at that entire game, first of all, the Cubs are winning the game, and they're not winning by one run when the play happens. The Cubs blow the game. And in Game 7, they were lousy. Not like they couldn't come back the next day and win. No, no. You know, it's all this guy's fault. There are a bunch of things that happened in that game. And I'm sorry. I am not a person that sits there and goes, oh, it's all on one guy. I just don't. I mean, this guy's a lifelong Cubs fan. They had to escort him out of the stadium with security guards. They had to place him under police protection for a time. His name and address was made public on Major League Baseball message boards.
I couldn't. That's the part that I still don't believe.
I don't get it. It just, I mean, after the play happened, Castillo got a walk on four pitches. Pudge Rodriguez singled to drive in a run. Miguel Cabrera hit a ground ball to Alex Gonzalez, who, by the way, muffed it. Derek Lee doubled, and that knocked Mark Pryor out of the game. Florida won the game 8-3. Next night, they beat Kerry Wood 5-3. Or actually, they won 9-6. They won 9-6 after leading 5-3.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. We're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Bucknell football team, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome back. It is great to have you with us. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you, Steve. It's kind of odd to be here on a Wednesday, but all three of us are here, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. All right, what is there any need to make any adjustment at this point in what you're doing, or is it just a case of getting better at what you do?
You know, I think it's a case of getting better at what we do with players that we have, and having Will Carter back will help us offensively. It poses some problems defensively. We've got to be better, though, at the controlled passing game, the passing game that we choose on first and second down, and I think we're making movement towards that. We want to take it more advantage of our three-step game, which I think Lehigh did a pretty good job of taking away by pressing us, and we're going to open up the formations just a little bit so they can't press everybody. Army can't press everybody, and that's not the way they do it, but they might see that in order to impact our run game, they might press us and play single high. They're not a single high team. They're more a quarters team. But we'll see when it shows up. We've got to be better at controlling the passing game in early downs. It helps our run game, and it helps us in third down. defensively. I think we're doing the right thing, and we're doing something completely different for Army, which everybody does. So,
will you have your down linemen, your defensive tackles, wear knee braces for this game because of the blocking scheme of Army?
They will. They will. There are times in the past against these teams would actually have them wear knee braces and shin guards.
Yeah.
Our guys don't like the idea of the shin guards, and they cut, but they don't cut as much as they used to. I think they're more athletic up front offensively. They're bigger than they have been, and it's just the speed. They play with Army's offensive line plays with a lot of weight in their hands. If you were to define their stances, they're more in defensive stances than they are in offensive stances, and they really get off the ball. They try to spread you out with their splits. From a defensive line standpoint, this game plan is pretty simple. It becomes the eye discipline of our perimeter. The two outside linebackers, which are basically going to be both our safeties, our strong safety and our free safety. And then our weak safety is going to be the middle guy. And our linebackers, the two safeties on the line, and then that back safety really have to do a good job being eye disciplined and reading the keys that over the past, really we started in the spring. We installed it in the spring and have spent some time on it on certain Sundays, and then we're fortunate that we're on fall break now, or the kids got off of fall break. We had really two extended days, which the NCAA enables you to when you're on fall break, and Monday and Tuesday helped. I think one of the biggest challenges is getting your scout team to run like Army runs.
Right. I was about to ask that. Yeah.
And they've done a great job so far this week.
I was going to say, how difficult is it to replicate the speed with which they do this?
You really can't, but the closer you are, and we spent time this week with our scout team watching, the offensive scout team watched Army's film. And our freshman quarterback did a lot of those conceptual things in high school, St. John Erskine, and he's a natural at it, did a very good job this week of controlling it and running the option as it's run by them. They play with four backs.
Yeah, right. How important is it to get the fullback dive taken care of first and foremost?
Yeah, if you don't do that, they're going to gut you. And I coached in a game where we tried to defend that offense. This was when I was at Rutgers and we were playing Navy, trying to defend it with traditional offense. And they had a fullback who played in the NFL for a little bit. He looked like Forrest Gump running down the field. you have to be able to control that, otherwise, because he's a tailback, and their two slots are tailbacks. The quarterback's a tailback, so they're playing with four running backs on every down.
To you, when you watch tape, is there any difference at all between how AJ Sher runs it versus Ahmad Bradshaw?
I think Ahmad Bradshaw is more of a speed threat than Sher.
Yeah.
But Sher is he's a big kid. He's 6'1", 220. No, wait. No, 6 foot 209. And he's a senior. And he's played a lot of football. And he's done a lot of what they do during the summer there. So he is one tough customer. Bradshaw's a little bit slipperier. I think he's faster on the flank. He's coming off an injury that you really didn't see on film in the Eastern Michigan game, but it kept him out of the Penn State game. And I know he played a bit against Duke. But to be successful in that offense, you have to have two, possibly three quarterbacks because they get hit. And we're going to do our best to hit the quarterback. I just hope we hit him when he has a ball in his hands.
Yeah, they have a tendency to put the ball on the ground. I know in the Penn State game, they had seven balls on the ground, and they lost three of them. On offense, and you talked about some of the things you wanted to do on offense, take it a step further. One of the keys I always feel going in is what matchups can you exploit? Have your players made good decisions on the matchups that you've told them they need to exploit over the last few weeks?
I think they have. You know, I think Andrew Hours has really come into his own as a guy that's hard to cover in terms of the matchups. We're going to take advantage of him in some of those things. And then really Will Carter one-on-one with anybody, just because of his speed, but also because of his ability to get off press. When people press him, they're making a mistake because he gets off it so well. Being able to take advantage, and Army's disciplined. I'm sure they're going to do their best not to be beat deep, but being able to take advantage of Will is the underneath concept. And then it brings into play all the other receivers. If they roll the coverage to Will, which some people have, then young men like Bobby Castland or Alan Butler have to be in position to make plays when those plays are there. And one of the things I think that we saw, and I watched the Fordham film. Fordham did a good job of pushing the ball down the field in the passing game, and it really helped their run game.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I felt, looking at the tapes I looked at, I thought defensively before Penn State, I thought defensively UConn did the best job against them.
They did. They really did. You know, that's outstanding. That's a good film to watch. And a lot of people, from a conceptual standpoint, are doing similar things. Everybody has their own wrinkle in terms of how to try to defend it. And one of the things that Jeff Monken and his staff, I'm sure, understand, knowing that they've run that offense for such a long time, they adapt as the game goes. And then they also have something in their toolbox to go to if you start to frustrate them, whether it's a formational thing, an unbalanced thing. And I coached against Army in the 80s. I was at Bucknell. I think at the end of the day, the quarterback was 6-for-7 for 200 yards. So you have to be disciplined enough, because the receivers come off the same way every time. They come off to block you, but they might stutter and run over the top of you. And we've really got to be disciplined there. Our corners really have to stay disciplined in that regard. They actually have a receiver named Edgar Allan Poe, too. So
yes,
we're dealing against literature here, too.
Number 82 and the punt returner, yes.
Yep, and he's a big man.
Yeah, he is a big man. You and I both, you know about going in there, facing a team like this. They have an FBS label. It's a great opportunity, and you have a good football team. Is it important at all for your players to know that you're a good football team and FBS is an opportunity and not an impediment?
No question. And, you know, going in there, it's their homecoming. It'll be a sellout there, 38,000. That's a great atmosphere to play in. And I got goosebumps right now just thinking about it. And that's how we have maturity on this team. I think that's an important thing. I don't feel our kids will be in awe of it. We've sold that since I told them the big difference is there's going to be 8 officials on the field. Normally we have 7. There's going to be replay, which this is the first time and the last time we'll have it this year. We're used to TV timeouts. Bison Vision takes way too many TV timeouts. But, you know, those are the things. And that stadium on our side is somewhat open, but the noise is a factor, and we've taken that into account in our third down concepts. We actually have a silent cadence if we need it, and we've prepped that. So those are the things that you have to be aware of when you go into a loud environment. And I know that the Corps does a good job of making noise, and I'm sure some of those guys with the stars on their shoulders are going to want to hear that noise. But when I tell my team, when people are making noise, they're yelling for you. And part of field position is going to be critical. I think Alex Peachin is the best punter I've seen so far. It's nice that he's on our side. I just don't want him to punt as much as he punted against Lehigh.
Well, you have a good football team and a great opportunity. Best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it, and I will see you next Monday. And I'll see Kevin on Saturday, right?
Looking forward to it, Coach.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thanks. Thank you, Joe. Head coach Joe Susan Buffalo of the Bucknell Bison as they get ready to take on Army Saturday. Kevin, you're going to have one of the truly great views in college football on Saturday. You're going to have Bucknell and Army down below, trees with an array of colors and an autumn coat adorning and surrounding the Hudson River, and it is maybe the single most beautiful setting in college football that will be in front of you on a perfect day for it.
And talking to Joe today at quarterback club luncheon, he said it is a true north to south as well with the way the field's set up.
Yeah. So, I mean, you'll be sitting on the west side looking east toward the Hudson River, and it's as beautiful gets in college football. And not only that, you're talking about on October 17th, right there about the peak. And I think the football game is going to be a darn good football game. Bucknell is a good football team. Bucknell is an extremely well-coached football team. And I think this is a golden opportunity for them. So I think it's exciting. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Every 42 seconds, someone purchases an F-Series truck.
Hurry to Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest
before someone gets your truck.
Now
is the best time to buy your next new Ford truck from SMC. Choose from over 100 F-150s with savings up to 10 grand. Sunbury Motors has close to 50 Super Duties with savings up to $11,500. What better way to impress your hunting camp than with a new Super Duty from SMC? Trucktoberfest means over 150 new F-150s and F-250s to choose from. Trucktoberfest means savings up to $11,500. Trucktoberfest means 0% financing for 60 months. Trucktoberfest means the best time to buy your next new Ford truck. And the only place to buy is Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. It's Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest. So hurry in before someone gets your truck.
I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K-Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
Yeah, this week we're featuring the Hyundai Sonata Limited. And you know what I found out about the Sonata? As of today,
it's a Hyundai.
Well, actually, I knew that before, but 60 months, 0%, 72 months has 0.9% financing available. And there's a possibility of being able to get some cash back as well with that financing offer. Lease options that get it even below, well below, $200 a month. And that's for a vehicle that has some fantastic features available, too. You could be driving home in a vehicle for just a few bucks more on a lease payment, at least, where it has a panoramic sunroof, lane-changing sensing vehicle, which when you put the turn signal on, there's a light in your rearview mirror that tells you that there is someone in the lane. Lane assist will also beep if it's in the lane you're turning to. And when you're backing up with the backup camera, you're looking at the backup camera, you don't necessarily see the traffic flowing behind you all the time. And if somebody flies through the parking lot, the vehicle will actually alert you to which direction the vehicle is coming from, audibly and visibly on the screen. Just some of the great safety features in the 2015 Hyundai Sonata Limited from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. You can check it out at SunburyHyundai.com for all the details.
5,787. What does that mean?
That's the amount of times you have corrected me on this program for erroneous information.
No, that's the fine that Hayward received for putting his dad's name, Ironhead, on his eye black Monday night. $5,787.
That is not the intent of the rule. I understand it's a very black and white rule. You can't have anything on, but it's still dumb.
The NFL,
the no fun.
I understand the uniform part of it because you'd want to keep control over every, you know, because it can spiral out of control. You know, you got numbers and names on shoes, on eye black, you know, the Jim McMahon headbands and things like that. So they're trying to rein that in. And, of course, if it's corporate, you're allowed to wear it. But after a while, isn't some of the stuff silly? The Craig Hayward thing, that's a silly. Now, the money, now look, the fine money goes to charity, just so you know. So it does go to charity. But, and they also told D'Angelo Williams he can't wear pink after October.
Yeah. He lost his mom to breast cancer. So he wanted to wear pink all season long. And they said no.
And four other relatives. And four other relatives. I mean, how about that? And they told him, no, you can't do it. After October. October, he can wear all the pink he wants. But no, he won't be allowed to. Now, the difference between Williams and Hayward, there is a difference. The difference is this. It sounds like Hayward went to the NFL with a request and was told no. Hayward just did it and got fined. I think one of the more important things that you need to do when you're saying no to something is to explain why. You'd be amazed how a good explanation as to why can make all the difference. Hey, you know what, D'Angelo, I completely understand it's a great idea. Here's the reason why we have the policy. Maybe if you do it, then all of a sudden we've got 500 other players doing all sorts of different things out there. And now it starts looking like a mishmash, even though we completely understand why you want to do it. Is there something that we can do as a league, donation-wise or whatever, to your cause that you think will make a difference? Now, how about handling it that way? We're not going to allow him to wear pink after October 31st, but we're going to make a donation to his charity.